usually we start these tapes off with just, we go around the table and just introduce yourself, your name, where you were born, and when you were born. We do that, and then we get into the questions. So if you'd like to start.
Well, I'm Norlene Peterson. I was born in August the 3rd, 1924, in the community of Eva, which is now out by Four Corners, 30 miles west.
Is that here?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you spell that?
N-O-R.
No, the community.
The Eva community was E-V-A, but it's not there anymore. The post office is gone.
I'm Mildred Ruth Jacobs. I was born September the 9th, 1924, here in Guymon on, what's the street? Starts with a C. Two or three blocks east of Main Street, Kremlin. But I can't remember the cross street.
You were born in town.
Yeah, from Kremlin.
And I'm Doralene Davis Wilson, and I was born June the 8th, 1920, in Hooker, Oklahoma, north of Hooker on a farm. And
I think that's it. So you didn't move very far at all.
No, I've lived about six blocks. I've lived in the same house I'm in now for 57 years.
I've been away, but I've been back.
You're traveling a little bit here.
I've been around, you know, I've been several. My folks left during the Depression and went to California and lived there a while. Married my husband and came back here. He's from here.
What would you say, you grew up in a fairly urban area in the city, is that correct?
Here, you mean?
Mm-hmm. You were born in town?
I was born here.
Uh-huh. And you grew up in town?
Well, I've lived a lot of places. My father, during the Depression, my father had a lot of different jobs, and we lived in a lot of different places. We lived in Texas County and in around Hitchland, Texas, and, you know, he lived a lot of different places.
What did he do? What were all of his jobs?
During the Depression, he did whatever he could find to do.
The family would travel with him, or
mm-hmm.
you?
And sometimes he would travel and leave us at home. We lived at Hardesty, we lived at Guymon, and we lived in... I don't believe we ever lived in Hooker until after I got married.
You didn't go to school there. Uh-huh. I didn't remember that you went to school in Hooker.
So your mother and father, and then how many children?
There's five of us. I was the oldest of five. My mother was Pauline Euler from Hardesty.
O-I-L-E-R.
Uh-huh. My father was Lloyd Elmer McCants from here in Guymon.
So how many places did you move to during...
I have no idea.
A lot.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember some of the jobs your father took on to keep things going?
Oh, he was a mechanic. He worked on a lot of farm machines. He was a janitor at the schools.
Cut broom corn.
Yeah, you know what? During the Depression, they
could do anything
unless you had a profession such as a teacher or something like that. You did most anything to keep your family going.
Right.
And a lot of times he worked away from home. He'd come home maybe on weekends.
What are you unwrapping there for us?
Oh, some old pictures of my dad's farm. That was one of the first combines in the Texas County in 1917. This was before I was born, and it was horse-drawn, but it was north of Hooker. And Henry Witt, you don't know him, but he's an old-timer. That was my brother, and there's some of us kids. That's my daddy, my sister. Anyway.
Which one's your dad?
He's right back, right here.
One of the arrows.
This is my oldest brother.
One kind of horses when you took the pull.
wonder if that's that dirty, really bad dust storm, that picture back there.
Uh-huh.
Is it?
Black Sunday.
Oh, that was bad.
We had a lot more of them, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot more than just that one.
Yes.
So what was life like for you traveling around so much? Did you have a hard time making friends, or make a lot of new friends?
Well, in my opinion, looking back now, we didn't know then, but looking back now, I think it was a very difficult life.
Sure it was.
But we didn't know then that it was.
What about it, which was, you know, when you look back, what about it strikes you as being difficult?
Not enough to eat of what you wanted.
Yeah.
That, I can remember going to bed hungry a lot of times. And I can remember living in a two-room house where all three of my sister and my two sisters and I slept in one bed. And my two brothers slept with my mother and dad. And we had a coal-burning stove. You'd get too hot if you were too close to it, and you'd freeze to death if you weren't.
Did you ever pick up cow chips to burn?
Yes, I did. I sure did. I went with my dad during the winter, and he shot rabbits. And we'd fry rabbits and biscuits and gravy, and that was a good meal.
I hated rabbits.
Did you like the rabbits?
Yes.
I guess if you're hungry.
I didn't.
I did.
Not even if you that was all you had to eat?
Well, I'm sure we had... We always had something to eat. I don't know how we did it, but when Daddy'd catch those little young rabbits, oh, I didn't like them.
You didn't like the fact that it was
cotton?
No, I just didn't like the flavor of the wild meat, I guess. I don't know what else it was.
Tasted like fried chicken to me.
Me too.
So were you out in your small area of the world? Was it a farming area? You grew up on a farm?
And sure
you,
did.
You were born there and raised there and didn't move around.
No, we stayed put. I used to pack a box and play like I was traveling.
And because I used to wish I had a place to stay for more than a week.
Is that funny? You were pretending you were...
I was pretending I was traveling. I always had such a vivid imagination. And my mother helped me right along. She went right along with my... packing and making trips and all this.
Where are you traveling to now, Norley? Did you have a lot of friends out there?
Yes, because, see, we lived in a community and we had the school, the James School. Well, I went to the old Frontier School first, and it was just a room that's probably not... as wide as this, because it had a stove in the middle and it had about three or four desks down this side and three or four this side, and a stage up here with an old table that had been made. I had that old table for years and years. Just terrible. I mean, it was just a table that someone had made. And it was a half mile off of the highway, and we lived a mile and a half. And when I started to school, and on good days we walked and carried our gallon of water and our lunch
and
a syrup bucket. And the school teacher usually what they call boarded at our house.
Mm-hmm. You stay there.
She would stay there, and I don't know what she paid the folks, but she got breakfast and supper, and Mother packed her lunch too, see. And we grew up with no, you might say, anything that was be special to us now. I've substituted over at school, and where they were having the teacher that wrote the book Twister, that's such a Sequoia book now. She lives at Norman now. And she came and was telling the kids about Twister. Well, to t- half the day off, we went to the basement at Northeast, and we had a tornado drill. And all the kids, you know, was down. So I said, well, while you're all down, I'll tell you about when I was in a tornado. So I told them the story when everything blew away when I was about 5 years old on the house.
Being in a tornado is pretty special.
Oh, man. Nothing left but the house.
Just listen, how did you grow up? What area?
Right there in Hooker. And at the Depression time, we lost our home. My grandfather came from Iowa, and he was a fairly wealthy man, considering those days. And he bought land, and he bought my dad a Champlin filling station. And his son, my daddy's brother, had the bulk house, the Champlin bulk house. And the Depression hit, and he couldn't get his money, the stock market, in 29. And he lost everything. We lost the home that he had gotten for us, and we had to move out. And there was a homeowners association that took over. And so my dad died then in a dirt storm when I was 12.
Oh, my.
And there were eight of us kids.
Oh.
And
there was your grandfather that couldn't get the money.
He couldn't get the money. And he lived, outlived his other. My dad died, and my uncle died before he did. Anyway, during the Depression, after Dad died, my oldest brother, he couldn't find work. He tried, but he played poker.
And because
he was pretty, good at playing cards. So he'd play poker and bring this money home to Mom. And then I had one married sister that married a farmer, and she had a cow, and they bring milk. So I lived on bread and milk and beans and
mush. I swore I'd never eat another. If I got to be an adult, I'd never cook or eat another bean. I like them now.
We've been noticing this weird phenomenon out here since we've been here since yesterday. And the brown beans and fried potatoes, or brown beans and cornbread, you know, the big, big staple meal. But it seems like the women either they love it. Like that's, they still love it because they.
I didn't like it when I was a kid.
Or they can't stand it.
Never eat it again.
That's what I swore, I never eat beans again. But I like them now.
Was brown beans a staple for both of you?
Well, see, Mother and Daddy, or especially Mother, I suppose Daddy plowed the garden. I can remember him plowing the garden with the plow, you know, and a horse. But we always had such a big garden. And even in the Depression, when the dirt storms would finally kind of settle down, and rain in the spring, Mother would put tow sacks and anything she could find up around the garden to protect her garden from the wind and the sand. And she had a huge garden, and we had chickens and cows, not very many cows, but I still think of when they just the cream separator. Oh, I hated to wash
That thing.
Oh, I did too.
And it was such a moaning sound, lonesome sound.
I don't remember the sound. I remember having
all those discs.
Yes, had to fit just exactly right.
Sometimes we had a cow, and sometimes we separated the milk. And I had, it was, since I was the oldest of five, it was my job to wash it and clean it up. And if I didn't wash it and clean it up, the next day's milk would be no good.
Yeah, it'd be sour.
Anyway, this brother that played poker, he and two other brothers got on the boxcar on top, you know, where the oboes, and they went to California. And they found work there. And eventually my mother moved out there too during World War, before World War II. She moved there and she passed away there, but we brought her back home. But I was married by that time, and so I didn't go to California, only on visits. The hoboes were thick.
Oh, just yes.
They'd have to fight almost for a place to sit on when the railroad, Rock Island Railroad, that comes through.
Do y'all remember seeing hoboes and tramps?
Do you remember gypsies?
Yeah, my dad's filling station, they'd come in there. And
my mother'd say, They'd somebody'd holler, "Gypsies are in town, grab your kids, because they'll take your kids and they'll kidnap them and you'll never see them again."
I want to hear all your gypsy stories. Let's start with you.
Well, they were they not Assyrians, or
I don't know.
They were dressed in loud colored clothes and handkerchiefs around their heads. And they'd stop at the station.
What would the men wear? Would they be suits?
I can't remember
about
a man.
The men.
I'm sure a man was around, but I don't remember.
I just remember the colorful women.
Uh-huh.
And we were afraid of them, too, that they'd steal things.
Well, they would.
Uh-huh. They'd stop.
That was their lifestyle.
But they'd trade my dad things for gasoline, beads. And I wished I'd kept those beads. I had the prettiest pair of beads that he brought home.
They'd drive cars.
Yeah, they had old cars.
Well, the ones that come by home, the way I remember it, they was had wagons.
Wagons and horses. Horse-drawn wagons.
It seems like they sometimes would do cars if they could get them, sometimes wagons.
Well, anyway, they stopped at the station to get gasoline, my dad. So naturally, they
I guess
had
it would
cars.
Be whatever they, you know, had. Mm-hmm.
What about your gypsy encounters?
Well, we live kind of down on what they call Teepee Creek, down low, you know, or lower.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come from the north about a half a mile away. You couldn't see them till you'd see them coming. And I can still remember Mother saying, "Get in the house and lock the door. The gypsies are coming." So we would naturally get in the house and, I imagine, peeped out and everything else. But then they'd come to the door, and they wanted a chicken for their sick grandma.
And beg.
Beg and beg. And whether Mother gave them anything, I can't remember. But finally, they'd go on. But as I said, the women always were dressed and had all these great big earrings.
Mm-hmm.
And
bracelets.
Now, I can't remember anything about a man.
I don't either.
Well, of course, we were just kids, children,
yes.
Tiny children.
We were attracted by the bright colors of the women, I guess.
Where did you see gypsies?
At Hardesty, which, you know where Hardesty is?
Yeah, we came through it on the way here.
Okay, my most vivid memory of gypsies is living at Hardesty. And someone would come around and let us know, "The gypsies are coming, the gypsies are coming. Grab everything, put it in the house, get your kids in the house, because they'll kidnap the kids and they'll steal." And we were scared to death. We were, frightened, scared of them.
Are we taking up too much time?
No, we got a long time to go.
You were scared of them, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, everybody was.
Do you remember them ever stealing anything from you or your family?
Not anything from us, but we just knew that they would if anything they could get a hold of, but everything we had. Of course, in that day and time, and during the Depression and all that, we didn't have much, you know. Anything we had, we could probably get into a two-room house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No bathrooms or no running water.
No, heavens no.
What about the tramps or hobos? Were you nervous?
Well, they would come by, and they would, I can remember Mother fixing meals or feed them. And then sometimes they would sleep, I suppose, I don't know whereabouts, but they'd sleep outdoors. So I suppose, you know, but I can still remember them coming, a tramp, and then they'd walk on and Mother'd fix up something for them to eat, whatever.
And sometimes they'd even say that we will do some things around here to pay for it. And they were different than gypsies.
Oh, yes.
They were people... Our type of
yes,
people.
Yes, we were the hobos, this country.
they were our type of people, and we weren't afraid of them. And I remember my mother was very religious, and she used to say, "Well, just when the hobos come, just be careful." But she said, "Just remember, that could be Jesus knocking on your door." And we weren't afraid of the hobos.
I was more fascinated with the gypsies than I was afraid of them.
Anything they did, but from that what was said, you know. You're from the gypsies. Be careful. They'll steal your children.
Your brother was riding rails.
Yeah. I had about three brothers that got out to California that way.
Did they ever tell you about their experiences doing that? Was it fairly easy for them to do that or hard?
They got out there pretty quick, I think. And first, this brother that played poker that I told you about, he got a job in a mine. And when he wrote home, I know I read that letter not long ago, I'm working so many thousand feet under the ground. And he had a picture of the tunnel. And it was in, he was in the war then, Marchfield. Let's see, where was that place? I can't remember now. The mine that he worked, that was his first job when he went to California.
Y'all, have you ever encountered any stories or known any women that rode the rails, rode trains?
I had my husband had an aunt that she hitchhiked.
Yeah.
We call it hitchhiking out there.
Did you ever talk to her about her experience?
No, I didn't know she did it until one of my nephews was through here on my husband's side, and he was telling me about Aunt Osia hitchhiking.
Her adventures. Well, did you have any close friends or, well, family members that went out to California? You know, the Okies, you know, the people that headed out. Did you lose any neighbors or relatives to that?
My whole family went.
Your family left too?
Mm-hmm. We all went. I was possibly 14 years old when I went.
Your family was kind of mobile to start with, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did you travel in a car, or how would you get around?
My dad was a mechanic, and he always had some old car that he was working on, or some old car that somebody had talked him into buying, or maybe spent money that we needed for food, but he'd buy a car. And he went to California. I had several aunts and uncles in California already. And he went out there, my mother's family, and he went out there and sent I had an aunt and her husband's already out there, and he sent her back with the car and the money to pick us up here in Guymon and take us to California. My mother didn't drive. My aunt drove the car, and we didn't stop except to go to the bathroom and before to get a loaf of bread and some bologna. Ate on the way.
And I can't imagine one woman driving that car.
And there was five of us kids and my mother. That was seven of us in that car.
That one car. Uh-huh.
And we never stopped anywhere to sleep. We slept in the car. My aunt got so tired one time, if my mother hadn't grabbed the wheel, we'd have gone over a cliff in the mountains.
I don't know how in the world she did that.
I don't either. Mm. I don't either.
Maybe you five kids kept her awake.
I don't know.
Well, that Grapes of Wrath story was pretty true to life of the people here in this country.
Mm-hmm. It gave Oklahoma a bad name, but it was true to the degree that we did go through a lot of hard times, a lot of depression times, but we didn't know it at the time. We didn't know any different. We thought it was just everybody lived like that.
Yeah.
I thought everybody experienced the dirt storms and the dust storms and such as that, but they didn't.
I was asked to speak at a high school group that were studying the Grapes of Wrath. It was a literature class. I was in Georgia, and my daughter-in-law taught in a college, and so she knew these kids were studying the Grapes of Wrath, so she asked if I would come and speak. And so I made out a little outline and told them about the depression days. And anyway,
how did they take to you?
They responded real well. First of all, I asked if any of them had been in Oklahoma. Yeah, they'd been in Oklahoma. They talked about Oklahoma City and Tulsa, you know.
Yeah.
And I says, well, come and draw me a picture of Oklahoma. And so they had a little tiny strip there. This one boy came up and drew it on the blackboard. And so then I made it longer, you know, and told him how big the three counties were out here in the Panhandle. When you talk about the Panhandle, most people think you're talking about Texas, the Texas Panhandle.
Yeah. It's too fat to be a Panhandle. You know, like, if your hands don't have handles that fat.
Texas is.
That's a big old fat one. It's not really a panhandle. It's like a square.
Well, in
Florida has a panhandle.
Yes, it's a real panhandle. Idaho.
But it's even bigger than Oklahoma, not bigger than Texas.
We should be just called the Strip, Oklahoma Strip.
Yeah.
I like panhandle. You know, it's a big old panhandle. Yeah. What kept your family there in Eva? Is that how you pronounce
that's
it?
That's a worst
well,
part
we were
of
in the
storm.
James community. It's the James community is still
a
James community that's still going. They have the church and everything. And the church there is the original schoolhouse that was moved from the old James schoolhouse. But to start my schooling off, We went to Frontier, which was a mile and a half from home. And then in the dirt storms, there was only six of us that went there. And the Ivy boys, you probably, Cecil Ivy, mm-hmm, Harvey, mm-hmm, they drove an old Model T car. They didn't walk. I mean, they got the Model T and they'd come to school and park that on the south side if the wind was from the north, or they'd park it on the north if the wind was from the south. And then them and my sister got old enough, they was through the eighth grade, see. So it was just my brother and I and the two Sparks kids. And the Sparks has moved to Red River. Well, that just left my brother and I. And they couldn't keep coal because people come and stole it all the time. And the mother and daddy had to take some coal up and, you know, but it got to be such a hassle and the dirt was so terrible that they just moved the teacher's table and a desk for my brother and I and whatever little dab of books we'd use, which was nothing but down. And we had school in our folks' front living room.
I was wondering you had.
And, I enjoyed that because Mother had a hot lunch for us. Mm-hmm. We got to go out and play at recess, and I didn't have any chores I had to do. At noon, I got to play. I didn't have to go, wasn't responsible to Mother and Daddy. I was... And I don't know, they consolidated it with James, which was 2 miles away, the James School.
Church of God.
Uh-huh.
James Church
of God. And then we had school there in the James, and then they'd have church on Sunday, and we always had to put our books up on Sunday from our desk because church was on Sunday and Sunday night. But we didn't put our books up on Wednesday night because they had prayer meeting, but we didn't put our books in the closet or wherever. And we started hot lunches. Oh, that was something.
Having hot lunches at the...
at the school. And the families took turns sending food, like beans or... I remember Mother making what she called green bean soup, and I thought it was wonderful, but I bet I wouldn't touch it now.
Yeah, it's still good.
I heard of green beans.
I can remember when the lunches, school lunches started at Hardesty.
My mother, that was her first job.
Yeah, my mother worked there, but I don't know whether she was paid for it or whether it was volunteer.
So each week of family or each day?
I suppose that now I don't know. I may be telling something I don't remember. But then we had a little oil stove behind the piano. Mm-hmm. And that's where part of the food would be cooked for the hot lunches. Mm-hmm. Or the water heated, or the dishes washed, or that's where they kept the dishes, was behind the piano. And then on Sunday, of course, we had church.
Was the hot lunch program started because the kids were having a hard time eating?
People were
that
having
was
such...
Milk.
Well, it was started, to, it started to help the farmers get rid of their milk. And we had a lot of dried milk, and it's not like the dried milk today, I tell you.
Well,
it had great
good.
Big lumps in it, and they couldn't... And we had no place to eat.
That was in the commodities that they gave us.
Uh-huh. But that was the reason that the Hardesty School had hot lunches. That was when it was started in Hardesty School.
So it was to help farmers get rid of their milk.
Uh-huh.
And the government would pay the farmers for the
I'm
milk.
Sure they would. I don't know.
And
the
WPA started up about that time.
And Daddy worked on the WPA.
And I had an NYA job at school. I was assigned to a certain teacher, Georgia Criswell. You know, she married.
Yeah, I know
the
Georgia.
Lawyer.
Let's get back to the NYA job and the WPA.
I really have always admired Roosevelt. Franklin D. I think he did an awful lot for this country. Mm-hmm. Hoover was a president before, and always we blamed him for getting us in a mess financially, where we had the stock market drop and fall, and where my grandpa couldn't get his money. Anyway. I was just assigned to a certain teacher, and I helped her grade papers. I'd go to her apartment at night and grade papers, anything she wanted me to do. I would help her, and I'd sit in the office and answer the phone. Maybe it'd ring one time in the superintendent's office. Mm-hmm. And
you remember what you were paid?
$5 a month.
That's not bad.
I was paid $3
some
a month.
Some of them got three. Some of them just got three, and I got five. Depended on your financial condition, I think.
What about the commodities you said that it would be distributed?
Yeah, we got, what all did we get on those? Brown beans. And cornmeal.
Dried milk.
And dried milk. Prunes.
Mm-hmm. Where would you go to pick, would they come to a central location and you
come to get them?
I don't remember that.
And they had flour, and it was, I remember it had a printing on it, distributed by the United States government on a little, just a brown paper bag.
Wow.
My mom always made lots of light bread.
Oh, mine did too.
Every day she'd make this bread. And at noon, if it wasn't ready to bake, she'd pull it apart.
And fry it
and put it in sugar. And now you have that right down here at the Taste of China now. They're in little puff balls. So I just love those.
You still like they remind you of...
Uh-huh. They taste just like mom's bread.
But oh, it was marvelous coming home to that homemade bread smell.
I probably didn't think of. I'd love. Oh, when we'd come to town, we'd buy a loaf of baker's bread and eat slice by slice.
5 cents a loaf.
Yeah, and oh, it was just like eating cake.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember government issued clothing?
Yes. Shoes and brown. Skirt and blouse.
Mom worked in the little room where they sewed. Mm-hmm. And I remember a dress I had, and it was about the only dress I had. We'd have to wash it, and I'd wear it all week, and I remember that yet. It's blueprint.
I had a brown skirt, corduroy skirt and jacket that was issued.
Remember that?
I kind of remember the corduroy now that you mention it. But I remember those shoes, and the shoes really didn't fit me.
Oh, no, and I always had narrow feet, and I always had blisters on my feet.
Oh, I did, too.
So they would just kind of give you, I mean, they wouldn't really...
They didn't measure you anything.
No, you just said what you thought.
Here's this.
And rationed. We were rationed during the war.
Oh, yes.
During World War II.
But I can remember an awful lot before the war.
Yeah, let's stay before the war right now. You're getting ahead of the game.
Right.
So, you were... or your family, or your mother, were very pro-Roosevelt, pro-Democrat?
I don't know if they were or not, but as I look back now, I don't think I realized it at the time. I wasn't that political-minded. Mm-hmm. But as I look back, I realize now what he did for this country.
Mm-hmm. Did you have friends that wouldn't participate in the New Deal programs that were too proud?
Well, I don't suppose so, because everybody's tickled to death to have something to eat and wear.
I don't remember anybody not. I remember people that had
they
more than we did.
Even though I remember.
That had more than we did, but I don't remember anybody refusing any food or any clothing or anything.
Well, this brick street down here was built by the WPA.
Right. What did you say your dad worked on?
Well, I suppose it's making roads. Mm-hmm. He took a team of horses and he called it Fresno.
Yeah, what was the Fresno?
Well, it was like a great big thing. That was pulled, and you'd pick it, pick up dirt. See, like a Caterpillar front loader tractor now would.
Road grader or something?
Yeah. But you'd pick up this dirt with this, what they call the Fresno, and then they'd take it and they'd dump it, and then they'd go back and get another load of dirt. And what else he did, I don't remember, but I remember that.
Do you remember feeling odd or weird about? Having to go to the government for food or clothes, or when you like feeling like.
Yeah, my mother and dad, they were so proud. They hated to do it.
We took the food and we took the clothing, but we wished we didn't need it.
We were ashamed. We didn't want anything.
Was the government clothing pretty easy to spot? I mean,
yes.
Brown.
It was always brown.
No, I don't remember that at all, no.
You don't remember that?
No. Are you both older? You're both younger than I.
Yeah, I was born in August and she's born in September. So see, we're just
maybe you were too old to get in on
in
that.
In 38, I was married in 38.
See, that's when I started high school.
Yeah. Well, in the when times were this tight, how would you handle a birthday or Christmas or?
We didn't have too much Christmas.
What would be a typical Christmas for you guys?
Oh, we never had a Christmas tree.
We never either.
We had a good. We'd try to have a nicer dinner. I remember.
We would. I think most of the time we must have lived around Hardesty or Hitchland around in there. And I can remember coming here to town and having dinner. And I can remember one Christmas, my aunt. I had cousins. And one Christmas she had little rubber dolls, just about this big, all set up there on a table for all of us girls. What the boys got, I don't know, but we never, that's all we got. You know, Christmas was, and birthdays, like you said, they were just another day.
One Christmas, Mother got a phonograph, you know, the kind that wound up like that, and the case was red, and one of the records was Star of the East. And I'm sure they must have played it over and over. Because I still remember Star of the East.
I remember ever having a Christmas tree until after we moved to California.
Well, we always had Christmas tree and treats and everything, and school programs, though, at the schools. Uh-huh. We had what they called a box supper, and how they got enough money. And
I don't know.
Everybody had a sack of candy given to them.
Auctioned them off, and whoever got it, you ate with them. Uh-huh.
The women took the boxes, the suppers, and the boxes, and decorated the boxes.
Yeah.
And the men
Buffalo
bought.
School. You remember the Buffalo School?
No, I didn't. I know where it is, but I didn't.
They were great on having things at Christmas.
That's how you might meet your respective wife or your husband.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're good with the box.
That's right.
Or was it?
Your sweetheart, you let him know just about what yours looked like.
And you hope that somebody
so he can bid on it.
You hope somebody you didn't like wouldn't bid on it.
Did that ever happen to you, any one of you? Where you had somebody like, he's going to bid on my box?
I think so, but I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, I had an old man.
I had someone.
I wish they kind of had box uppers still. That might be kind of fun.
They do in places.
And taffy pulls.
Where do they have these box uppers?
I don't know, but I remember hearing about it either on radio or TV or something, and I thought, I didn't know they still had those, but they do.
Let's do that again sometime in the senior citizens.
But our church and our community, we had programs and... I mean, we visited back and forth, and that little cluster of people there, because there were, you know.
Who are those people that live right across the street from the James Church of God?
Burnses. Everett and Grace Burns, and they had a bathroom.
Oh, I remember.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Keelan's?
No.
The Burns is the only ones that I remember that lived right.
It was two sisters.
Two sisters that lived across from the gym.
Yeah, it seemed like the church was here and right over here was their house.
No. Because the Keelans, there was a family of Keelans lived about a half a mile to the east of the James Church. And she died of cancer. And I remember Mother, when anybody got sick, they called on Mother. And this woman, she'd come to Guymon. There was an old quack doctor come, and she had cancer or something. And that whatever they put on ate her breast away. And Mother, she got so bad, and Mother'd go over and doctor, but Mother wouldn't let me see. But one time, or sometime, I slipped in and saw when Mother was doctoring that. And it was just a great old big wad of blood and yuck.
You think it was just cancer and we didn't know it?
Well, yeah, I'm sure that was cancer and they didn't know what it was.
I remember my grandfather.
Her name was Jane.
Jane and Clark Thrasher.
That's it.
Yeah, but they didn't live across from the church. They lived 3 miles east and 2 miles south.
Okay.
What a mystery solved.
Yeah.
I remember my grandfather.
Jane was one of the school teachers that lived at our house for years.
She had a sister, too.
Had a big place here on his hand. And I was just small, you know, maybe 6, 7 years old. I thought that looked awful bad. He said, the doctor told him, he said, that's a cancer. He said, we're going to feed that. and let it eat and eat and eat. And then we're going to quit feeding it, and it's going to come out. And I thought, oh, how gross. Whether it did or not, I don't know. I didn't want to see any more about it.
That burned itself into your memory.
Yes.
What about other old medicines from that time?
Castor oil.
Oh, yeah. And orange juice.
CBT. Uh-huh. Constipation.
Uh-huh. What was it? Oh.
And get sick at your... Yeah. You get sick at... I guess probably, you know, no refrigeration at all. Evidently, my stomach just didn't take all the little things of the different things of food and not being kept maybe as warm. Well, we didn't have any refrigeration. The only thing you had was the windmill barrel.
What about that skunk oil and turpentine and kerosene?
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
used to put that, if you
had a poultice and put it on your chest.
Yeah, wasn't it skunk oil?
No, Mother always used lard and turpentine.
Turpentine.
And kerosene.
I guess someone said we used to use skunk oil.
Well, some people may have.
Sugar with drops of kerosene in it.
With it,
uh-huh.
Kerosene.
Yeah.
And if you...
And Cloverleaf salve.
Oh, yes.
And we'd get those beautiful pictures. And I still got one of them.
Oh, you have. Oh, you've got a antique worth something then.
I remember one time the itch was in school.
Came to visit.
And it was sulfur. And my grandmother, she thought... My grandmother or they were quite a bit better off than we were. And she thought that if you had that... You broke out with these little blisters and you itched terribly, you were unclean. So some reason or other, my two sisters and I were staying with my grandmother. My mother wasn't there, and she went and got a wash tub, and they put kerosene in it, and we had to take a kerosene bath. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine how that felt.
Oh, her instinct.
Anyone with bed bugs or the itch or fleas or lice, they were down.
But everybody, you know.
Low-grade people.
It was in the school, and there was no getting around it.
You think that old medicine worked?
I don't know.
I think we were just strong people. We just got past the hurdles.
Well, that's the reason we lived.
Mm-hmm. I thank faith, even yet today.
Oh, yeah.
If you believe in something, uh-huh. that it's going to, like all these vitamins that they, if you believe it's going to help you, it'll help you. But if you don't believe it, why?
I don't hear too many people using kerosene for medicine these days. I don't know.
No.
It must have penetrated or something, though. That
I don't know what it did, but I'll never forget that.
Well, what all would you guys do for entertainment in your, you know, with your little funding?
I had a lot of fun in the summertime riding with the milkman. He had a dairy, and he had a little Model T Ford, and had a box built on the back. And he delivered milk. They were in bottles with a little
paper
on top.
Paper top on.
Yeah, okay. And so he'd go down the street and honk, and all of us kids would get on there and deliver his milk for him. We'd ride on the running board. There was running boards on the cars. And that was fun for me. That was one entertainment.
Mm-hmm. You'd just do that for fun. Mm-hmm.
The kids. I don't know what the adults did for entertainment. I don't think that they did anything, but I can remember us kids going out. And we'd play hide and seek and kick the can.
Uh-huh.
And
Annie over. Jackson.
Mm-hmm. What were the rules for kick the can?
You had a circle about so big, and you had a can in there, and somebody would go and kick the can as hard as they could, and everybody would scatter and hide. And
you'd have to run and get the can.
Yeah.
And not get caught. If you got caught, you were off of that side. Then
something
you,
like
the
that.
Other side
remember.
Got...
Mm-hmm. But I just remember kicking the can and in a circle and whatever.
It seemed like we used sticks. And we'd get there with a stick, one on each side, and we'd both hit it.
Before you didn't hurt yourself.
Maybe that was a different game. Maybe you had invented a new game.
It might have been a different one. Okay, it was a good game.
We didn't have any croquet.
We didn't. That was later, after I was married, we had croquet.
It was an adult game.
Yeah.
That's when you got a little money.
Yeah, when you got enough money to buy a croquet set.
I remember when we were little and had my parents' croquet set, we'd just beat on things with the mallets. We'd just, you know, pound things in the ground, and we didn't know what we were doing.
I wish we'd had those again. That was fun. We had one set up our backyard. Mm-hmm. Horseshoes. I've still got the horseshoes out in the garage.
That's pretty darn good, pitching horseshoes.
I didn't have anybody play with me with horseshoes because my sister and brother didn't like. So I played by myself.
How many were in your family?
Three. There was 5 years between us, so I was the middle one, see. But at home, I would play horseshoes with myself, and I'd toss my horseshoe down, and however, you know. Then I'd play like I was somebody else, and I'd toss for them, so we played against each other that way, see.
Did you win a lot?
I imagine.
Because, see, you get 3 points if you got a ringer, and if you got a leaner, that was so much. How
yeah,
much?
But I can't remember.
I can't remember how much. And then so much distance from the stake.
Yeah.
I played about a lot of ball by myself. I love ball. I love basketball.
And marbles.
I didn't wasn't very good at marbles, but I love basketball.
Did you ever play on a team?
Oh, yeah. Artistry team. We went to state.
I played basketball, too.
For Hooker? Or?
Sure, never went anywhere else but Hooker.
Hooker and
Hooker's the only place I've ever lived.
Hooker and Artistry, we were in Adams. We were all very competitive.
I guess you guys are a little too far apart in age to have played each other, you know. I
mean, when were you born?
20, but I didn't know you.
Uh-uh. Until 4 years.
Because you were down in the Hardesty area more.
Well, yeah. And then we lived in California for years. I graduated from high school in California.
Well, tell me what she's writing down about us.
She's just keeping track of
I'm keeping track of who's talking.
Okay.
So what, did we talk about why you didn't move back to California? How did you end up sticking around? Everybody else is heading out.
I don't know. Just...
Well, you folks, well, they owned this.
You had the land.
We had the land.
And you didn't lose it like we did.
And the folks paid on the land. But we had the land. And just before, in 29, the folks, my grandfather was a carpenter, and he built a real nice home for my folks for that time. We didn't have a bathroom. But I mean... we didn't get the dirt in the house. We got an awful lot of dirt, but nothing like the people whose houses were not well built. But the folks' house was real well built.
When did you move to California? Or you were
moved? Oh, let's see. I moved to California. We moved to California in 39, I believe.
What about you were married and stayed here? Mm-hmm. While all your brothers were out. Mm-hmm. And your mother went out to California.
Yeah, she went out there then, finally, too.
So all of you guys were here when the big storms came through.
Oh, yeah. That dirty 30.
And
the dirty Sunday.
Yeah.
Then that happened in 1930?
I was 13.
35.
Oh, I was 15 then. I was thinking it was 33.
Well, I was 11 then.
I was with two of my girlfriends. Us three girls were together. And I was scared to death. It lasted so long. It stayed dark so long.
Where were you guys?
Yeah.
Were you at someone's house? Or
we saw the storm coming up, and I was with my mom, and we were headed for home, and we saw we weren't going to make it. So she's going to stop in this hotel where she knew this lady, and my girlfriend lived next door. So I said, I'm going to Rudder Ray's. And she says, well, I'm going to go in here. And I wouldn't go with her. I was going to go to Rudder Ray's. Rudder Ray wasn't home. She was down to Louise's, another block. So I run down to Louise's. And we three girls, her parents weren't home. They were on the rabbit drive. And so we three girls were alone in this old, old house together. And we just laid down on the bed. And you could not see anything. There was...
Well, it come in, just like that, it come in, they were so pretty when they came in, if you remember.
Yeah, rolling in.
Just rolling in, and it was so quiet, they'd be so quiet before they got there, and the birds and everything would be ahead of them, and then here it would blow, and then it just blow and blow and blow, kind of like it did yesterday.
Didn't stop.
No, it
day
didn't
after
stop.
Day after day, day. Night after day.
But when it rolled in, it just kind of settled down on you.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking it was in the 30s. It was 1930, but it was 35.
35 was the Black Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, it started before then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The first one that I remember, it was real black. And I was thinking I was about 7, but it might be. And we were down at my grandparents' oilers down there by Hardesty, and we were down on the river having a picnic and playing in the water and all this, and we saw this coming up, and we were about a mile from the house, and I didn't think we were going to make it to the house, but we did. And then from then on, it seemed like it was all the time.
Well, one day the dirt would blow from the north. There'd be a sand pile way high on the north side of the house. The next day it'd blow from the south, or vice versa, and those big old sand piles would just change places. I mean,
and the fence posts.
Yeah.
There'd be dirt.
There'd be nothing.
Topsoil clear up over the fence posts.
And there was no vegetation. And
the Eva area was one of the worst.
And
from Del Mar, Texas.
I think you were in the middle.
You were right.
And the daddy and grandpa would go out with the big old barge with the horses, and they would dig soap weeds and burn the green spikes off of them and feed that root to the cows.
I've heard
and the
of that.
Cows would just have soap bubbles coming down the side of their mouth. And then they had to sell everything but maybe one or two old cows. They had all these Hereford white-faced cattle, and they had to sell everything, and all the horses and everything.
You know what a barge is?
I heard a lot about them. I've never
seen thought there was one in this picture. It was a big wagon, and it would be high on one side and low on the other.
I remember seeing
and
it.
And you pull them. With the horses.
Yeah.
What was it for?
Well, they would have a rope fixed some way in them, and whenever they would cut the crops in the fall, they would fill this barge with the crop, then they'd haul it in, and they would pull with the horses on this rope, and they'd unload the barge that way.
Very ingenious, weren't they?
Yeah.
And then they'd go back and get another. Or you'd head maize and you'd throw the maize as you headed it into the barge. And then you got enough. Why? And of course they didn't raise anything then. I mean, for years there was nothing raised. Nothing anywhere. Only maybe the gardens. And
you remember the first dust storm you saw? What do you remember thinking?
No, I can't remember the first dust storm. I just remember the dirt blowing all the time, and I just wish it'd rain. Oh, I just thought it'd just be...
Never rain.
Just so nice to see a cloud come up and rain.
It never rained.
Do you remember the first time you saw something rolling?
I think it sort of was gradually, you know, it just kept up that we didn't... wasn't impressed with...
Yeah.
It was just a way of life. The one that I remember is that Sunday, but it went on for days and days.
We had a lot of them that just weren't practically that bad. But
a lot like yesterday.
That would stay black.
Yes.
Well, yesterday that was mild.
It didn't seem mild, Darlene, after we're not having to have lived through it for a while.
I get up in the morning and my lips would be the only thing. Rest of me be all
brown.
And the linoleum on the table, he couldn't have breakfast or anything because it'd be all, couldn't see the print on the linoleum.
Oh, we'd not linoleum,
not
oil,
linoleum
cloth.
Oil cloth.
That was the day when you get to go to town and buy a new oil cloth for the table.
Rolled up on it.
Well, when did things start to turn around for you guys?
When it started raining.
We were in California, so I'm not...
Probably in about 38, because that's when I started the high school.
We still had some dirt storms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Well, yeah. But it started raining enough that there was vegetation and...
Mm-hmm. And there was some jobs, because my husband always had a job. He was a superintendent of the city water works in the disposal plant. And...
Oh, you lived high.
Oh, yeah, he made $60 a month.
But that was...
50 when we first got married.
That was big
money. But he was 10 years older than me. Maybe he was.
So the rain brought with it better times.
Yeah. So
you remember the first exciting thing that you were able to do or buy when maybe when times turned around, like something you said, we can afford this now, or finally we can buy something that we've always wanted, or fix something?
It was awful nice to get a refrigerator, because we always had the wooden boxes and had the ice delivered.
We never even had a wooden box. We just, once in a while, the folks would buy a chunk of ice. And then, because the Schuberts used to, on Saturday, they'd go to Texoma and they'd buy ice. And then they'd make ice cream on Saturday night. Once in a while, they'd have us over. And I thought, if I ever get so I can, I'll have ice cream every Saturday night.
We made lots of ice cream.
Do you now?
No, of course not.
We still have homemade ice cream every once in a while. A bunch of us get to do it. Freeze it.
So the refrigerator was something you remember being buying?
Yeah, it was so hard to empty that pan underneath where it melted.
We were in California by that time, and I remember it's a whole new different way of life when you go out there from here. And I can remember the first refrigerator that my family bought out there. And I can remember when we first got there, and they had a lot of what they called coolers. And they were built in the southeast corner of the house, of the apartment. This is California, not here. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, this is, I've never heard this before.
And they were, the two sides were screened in. And this went from the floor to the ceiling. And these two sides were screened in. And they had shelves in them. And you put your milk and your eggs and your things
and
like that in
there. And water. Did you have water down below it?
I can't remember. It seemed like we did, but it was cool.
Yeah, and they had something up to keep the evaporation.
Yeah.
Of course, we always had the windmill with the barrel in the summer. Put the milk in the half gallon.
Mm-hmm. My grandparents did.
And tied a string around it.
We didn't have electricity.
The toilet was outside.
Yeah.
I never had a bathroom until I got married. The first house we rented in 38.
And your toilet tissue was a Sears roll book and
yes,
Montgomery Ward catalog.
For the pages that were soft and the slick pages.
All right. Well,
and they were so often.
Huh?
You'd have to dig a new hole every so often.
And on Halloween, the kids would come along and turn it over.
Oh, that was a big thing to do on Halloween, turn people's toilets over.
What about the first time you got electricity? To me, that would seem like I don't know what. I can't even imagine being able to.
First time I saw electricity was after my family moved to California.
What about you two that stayed around here?
We didn't have the wind chargers was the electricity then.
Mm-hmm. I remember the
with the batteries with the wind.
Town, so uh-huh. We had electricity.
Yeah, you
and
had
gas
electricity. Town
for
had
heat.
Electricity, but country had wind chargers.
Before Dad died, I remember we had a gas stove and it had that asbestos back there, you know, and just the burners were open.
Uh-huh.
And I always remember putting the galvanized tin tub in front of it. First off, take a bath.
Yeah, that's where we had our baths.
We had our stove that we cooked on. It had all these burners.
An oil stove.
An oil stove. Coal, wasn't it?
Coal, yes.
And it had these burners. What, six burners maybe? Or?
Oh, you had a big one.
And
ours
one
was four. Yeah, you had an oven that you'd take off.
Yeah.
I still
and
got one.
Oh, you do?
They make camp ovens a whole lot like what we had when we were growing up, only they're used on in camping, you know.
You said your dad died in a dust storm?
Yeah, it was an awful bad night. And he died with a heart attack just suddenly. And he was out of work, lost his station, didn't have any money, was so discouraged. And I remember he was sitting in this chair, and he says, well, goodbye, I guess I'm going. And we all jumped up right quick, you know, and they laid him out down on the floor. And one of my brothers that was just, well, he'd be 14 because I was 12, run to get the doctor, Dr. Risen. And but he was dead when, I'm sure he was dead before Henry ever left to go get him. And he didn't have, I think they found a quarter in his pocket. There was absolutely no money.
Nothing.
And that was the cheapest funeral I ever saw.
There you were with your brothers and sisters and mom.
Yeah, and that's such a, besides being so cheap, it was such a pathetic thing to have happened to you.
Yeah. Such terrible. A bad thing to have to go through.
Was he sick or not, I mean, not feeling physically well?
I don't think he was well. And I think he was just so discouraged.
Yeah. And it was during the dust storm that it happened?
He was having a really bad one that night. I remember they had to send Henry out, and how bad it looked when Mom opened the door to see if she thought Henry should go. And the other brothers were working with Dad, you know. So that's why the 14-year-old went and walked across the tracks over there.
We didn't have any tragedy like that.
Did you ever know anybody that got dust pneumonia?
I've heard of it, but I didn't know anyone personally. If they did at that time, we didn't know it because we just didn't go to a doctor.
I think I've got it now. Yeah. They say this thing that I have. I never did smoke, but I have a kind of an emphysema, and they say it's from dust.
Mm-hmm. I think I might have got it yesterday.
Yes, you probably did.
That was just drop in the bucket what we went through.
If it had been for days and days and days, but I was as discouraged yesterday as I can remember. I thought
we were at Wes and Harold's house watching shingles fly off. We were all landing in our front yard. But it's pretty crazy. But I can imagine. I mean, just looking out, we were just kind of looking out across the fields out, you know, looking out of Hooker, and you're seeing this just haze and brown sort of running around. And it was nasty. We get stuff in our eyes and we couldn't see. And it wasn't even anything like that big over there.
Just imagine that going on for days and days and months and weeks. And
That's California, here I come.
Interesting pictures in here.
Yeah. Well, if those were the good old days.
They weren't.
They weren't.
Not for me.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think we took it as a... Didn't know any better.
You didn't. We didn't.
I still
know
had fun, didn't you?
Yeah, but I.
We'd have beautiful days in between when it was
I don't
beautiful.
Want to go back to that.
Oh, if I had to go back to it, I wouldn't do it.
So to me, it's not good old days. Huh?
No, that's a bunch of. Baloney.
But we didn't know any different.
Yeah,
and we were kids, and you know, it just.
And I have made the statement time and time and time again. I hope my kids and grandkids and great grandkids never have to go through what we had to go through.
Yeah,
they wouldn't know how to live.
That's what Lloyd and I talked. We hope they wouldn't have to do.
The depression.
That house right over there.
Both.
That house and that picture over there. See it? To the left of that school.
Yep.
Our son lives in that house today over here.
Here in Guyman.
Here in Guyman.
It's across his name Peterson?
It's Kim Peterson's house. He's the one that has Kim's ribs and all that.
Oh, you know? Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where's that?
Well, that it's down here by the schoolhouse, the Academy Grade School.
He caters a lot.
And his house is just right there in the corner across from the schoolhouse. And he has his catering business, most of it there. He's got a big Kim's building down here in the... If he ever gets time and money enough to finish up the kitchen down there.
But, so he doesn't have a restaurant?
No, but he feeds...
He's going to do the Tri-County.
Yeah, like, and it'll be like 2,000, 3,000.
Telephone company.
The telephone company.
Eating lots of his good ribs. And,
yes.
And if he's got some tripped up now, I might tell him that
You can buy... He usually has ribs to buy that he has in the cooler or frozen... But he never keeps anything else like potato salad and beans and all of that.
Yeah.
But he does A big...
Okay, you're making me happy now still.
But that house is just looks just like that today. They have completely gutted it inside and redone it, but the outside looks just like that. Mm.
Hmm. You...
I made quite a bit of money babysitting, you know. I babysit children. And I worked for Judge Hughes. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember Judge Hughes.
Oh, really? I came over here. I was 13. And his wife was... They were going to have some senator from Oklahoma City come out to be their guest, and she wanted some help. And boy, she looked at him and says, "Why did you bring a young girl like that home here for?"
That made you feel good.
I didn't like her at all then.
Mrs. Jacobs, how did you feel when you got to California? Did you think it was a great change or an improvement for you? Or were you sad to have left?
I was sad to leave. You're always sad to leave, you know. We got out there and we were just disoriented because it was a completely different way of life. I mean... Nobody, you didn't say you were from Oklahoma because you were looked down on as an Okie. You were, well, they, grapes of wrath, you know, and all that.
You're just white trash out
yes.
there.
And
whether you were or not.
Right. And I went on and graduated from high school. I was the oldest of five. And I could have gone within walking distance of the University of California at Berkeley. But I didn't go. I had to go to. I thought I had to go to work as soon as I graduated from high school. I could have gone to the University of California at Berkeley at no cost, all books paid, everything paid. Mm. But I didn't.
Mm. Where did you work?
Oh, I worked. My sister called me from San Francisco Sunday. She said, "Do you remember the Montgomery Ward where you worked in Oakland?" I said, "Yeah, that was my first job from high school." She said, "They demolished the building yesterday."
Oh.
It was my first time to feel an earthquake. I was up working up on the fourth floor, and we swayed back and forth. Mm.
So your sister stayed in California?
Oh, yeah.
And you?
Well, I had met my husband here. Families had met before we went to California.
Did you stay in touch with him?
Not really. I knew my mother did some with some of his family. But when he got in the service, when he was drafted, and somebody let us know that he was out there, and we called or wrote to him or something, I don't remember, and let him know where we were, invited him to the house for dinner. And then it took off from there.
You saw each other. Mm-hmm.
We were married 2 weeks, and he was sent overseas to Europe.
Oh, wow. At least you got 2 weeks there. Well, what would you say are some things that you lived through what most people consider to be the most trying time in the history of the United States? When you lived...
Personally?
You lived through it and you made it.
Personally?
What are some things you carry with you from that time? How has that changed you?
Well, to go to high school, the only way I could go to high school was work for Mrs. O'Donnell. That brick house that's north of the college, and she had one room fixed up as apartments for girls to go to live in that went to college. Mm-hmm. Well, I went as a high school girl and lived with all those college girls, but my job was to clean after all of them, and they had a washroom and a hall down between. I had to keep the hall clean, the washroom clean, the little one bathroom clean, and the shower. And then I had to go upstairs every morning, and I know my name now that I wouldn't have had to done it, and why. I had to dust everything in the dining room and living room every morning with the dust cloth and take the dust mop and go around the carpet. And if I didn't, she called me back. Well, then school started at 8:30, and I walked about a half a mile. And then I went to high school at Goodwill, and I had this NYA job that paid $3, see. But I didn't want the kids at school to know that I did all of this for Mrs. O'Donnell. I had to do her ironing, and she had two sons. Do you remember Benny O'Donnell and Jimmy O'Donnell? One of them taught at Hooker for years, or Tyrone. And I had to do all the ironing for them. And then I didn't want any of the kids at school to know I did all of this. And the Rayburn boy would deliver groceries. Well, I didn't realize that he had to work and the other kids were having just as hard times I did. So I would go and would go to another room when he delivered groceries because I didn't want him to know that I was having to do all this ironing.
What was your actual job? Was it to iron and dust?
Iron and dust and clean.
Whatever she told you to do.
Yeah, whatever she told me to do. But that was a full-time job.
Yeah.
See.
And you didn't make anything.
And all I made.
Other than just your board.
No, all I made was my room. And the room that you could rent then, what I learned later, was $3 a month.
So you didn't get paid any money at all?
No money at all.
Well, where did you eat?
Well, Mother would fix up this box of food, and we'd cook. And then Mrs. O'Donnell got feeling, I guess, she would cook breakfast for me of a morning. But Mother would send eggs and bacon and butter and everything to her, so she had food to cook for me.
She was taking advantage of you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she was.
But I couldn't have gone to high school if I hadn't had a room to live in.
You lived in a house with a bunch of college
kids. Oh, yes.
Did you learn some things maybe that your mom didn't know you were learning?
Well, I don't know.
You smoke cigarettes?
No.
No.
I don't think.
I can't remember any all stories or anything like that because the girls... You had to check in and out. You pretty well knew where you was going and what was happening to you.
Yeah, it was pretty regular.
Uh-huh.
What was your question?
My question originally
was what influenced you?
Yeah, you lived through the Dust Bowl in the Depression, and what have you carried with you? You know, what impact has that made on your life?
Makes me stronger.
I guess.
I think it did. Tom Brokaw wrote a book, The Greatest Generation. I just read that.
Yeah.
And he was raised in Nebraska, I believe.
Thanks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he has a lot of things in that book. If you haven't read it, you should read it. You associate yourself with the things that you wrote about.
When you're called the greatest generation, of course you've got to associate yourself with
it. Well, no, it was things that really, a tough life makes you stronger when you're...
We had to be tough or we wouldn't have made it.
So a tough life, it made you stronger coming out of that.
And see, we are also the generation of World War II.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of sacrifices. I lived on the West Coast during World War II. We had blackouts. We had we were rationed. We had Japanese boats off of the coast. We're ready to shells. But growing up during the Depression and the Dust Bowl days, we had no idea what we were living through, what we were going through. We had no idea how it was going to influence our lives. I think, for me personally, I don't think there's anything that I can't face or handle if I have to.
And that's because of how you grew up. Mm-hmm. It seems like if the Dust Bowl and the Depression made you stronger and able to face things and appreciate things, that it was a good time.
Well, that's the reason I like shoes so well today.
It was not. It was a learning time. It was an inspirational. I mean, it was.
Well, you had to. You wouldn't have
to. But I can't say it was a good time.
No,
it was a hard time.
Do you think the United States? The generations coming up now would be improved if they had to go through this?
I don't know.
I don't think they would make it.
Oh, no.
Well, some of them would.
But they may be going through things that
we don't even know anything about.
No,
we don't have to face.
They are going through things that
we don't have to face.
They have drugs and all this. They do not have... I don't want to sound arrogant.
Sound arrogant.
They don't have... We had to face morals. A young girl could, if she got pregnant and wasn't married.
It was bad.
I mean, it was awful.
What would happen?
Well, in the first place, she'd go off somewhere. to mm-hmm. live. Her parents wouldn't let her live at home.
Mm-hmm.
She would have to go somewhere. If she had the baby, she and the baby were looked down on where they could never expect to have any kind of a decent life at all. Our morals were high, but so was society's morals. Society has lower morals now. And anything goes. Just about anything goes now.
Maybe it's just more forgiving.
Please yourself.
It probably is. But on the other hand, I don't know. I just don't believe in this fast life that so many of them live. And I have grandchildren that live with their boyfriends and fiancés and all this, but I don't believe in it. But it's not my life, it's their life. I had my life, they had their life.
It's a whole different scene. Well, we're getting too philosophical now.
To the rules of the Bible.
Maybe we sound arrogant.
No, you don't.
We are a very, very strong people that went through the Depression and World War II.
Well, that's why we're here.
And I'm not putting other generations down. They have their problems also. But I would not want to live in theirs, and I hope they never have to go through what I had to go through.